Hey guys, welcome to Talk, Talk, and More Talk with K to the A to the Y to the C to the E to the E.
Hey, welcome to another episode, and today I don't know what I'm actually going to be talking about. I have an idea of it, but I've not quite decided on a topic because I don't know. God, why did my head just start aching all of a sudden? But anyhow, I'll still make the episode. So I just decided I want to talk. Maybe I would have just written a note instead. Most times when I just have a lot of things on my mind, not on my mind per se, because when I start saying the things, you say, is this what is on your mind? So not like it's on my mind or any like weighing me down or something, but like I just had a couple of thoughts. Usually I would just write them in a note for myself, that I would just like get it out of my head, basically. That's it. Usually nothing too serious, but I just decided, okay, fine, you know what, this time let me just record and let's see if I can formulate words that would form an episode. So yeah, a couple of things on my mind, right? Let's see. The first thing I would say is self-love. Like, what is self-love? What is self-love? Loving yourself, I guess. Loving yourself is self-love, but like, what does that entail, really? It's something that gets thrown around a lot, like self-love. Maybe you're watching a movie, you hear self-love, or online, Twitter, WhatsApp, I don't know the social media you use, probably not TikTok or any of the video ones. Oh, maybe on TikTok they put text on some of their videos now, so you might see stuff about self-love. Someone say, oh, I'm focusing on self-love, I'm doing this, like self-love and whatever, and self-love, it's almost like a buzzword in a sense, you know. So me, I was like, fine, let me see. I tried to find the definition, right? Self-love is a term that is used more and more frequently in recent years, particularly in context of mental health and wellness, right? However, it's a bit difficult to define what it actually means. Anyway, so let's see if we can come up with a definition, right? It can be understood as a state of appreciation for oneself that grows from actions that support our physical, psychological, and spiritual growth. It means having a high regard for your own well-being and happiness. Self-love means taking care of your own needs and not sacrificing your well-being to please others. Self-love means not settling for less than you deserve. All good words that you probably would have heard somebody say without probably saying self-love, maybe saying something like, oh, I want to put my needs first. You probably heard someone say that. Maybe someone after their friends has annoyed them, oh, I want to put my needs first, or after their partner has annoyed them. You know, you hear these kind of things all the time. And sometimes I wonder, self-love and selfishness, or like sometimes, you know, is it selfish to not put people's needs? I'm not saying you should put people's needs above yours, but in the true sense of the word, humility means putting others before yourself, right? That's like, I don't want to say Christian definition, but usually humility is not putting yourself above others. And now self-love is telling you to put yourself above others. So it's just, you know, maybe there is a thin line between, you know, taking care of yourself and being humble. Like, maybe show love to yourself, but don't do it too much that you just put your needs. Because if you do everything to make sure you are satisfied at the detriment of others, now that seems very unkind, right? Like, maybe for example, you step on people's, well, not in the literal sense of stepping on people's feet. Like, maybe you want to progress in your job or something, but it that to mean, you know, throwing somebody else under the bus, where you're like, oh, I'm putting myself first. I mean, that doesn't seem great, does it, right? So I feel like there's a thin line sometimes between putting yourself first at the detriment of others. At the same time, I'm not saying you should totally throw yourself away just because you want to please others. So, like I said, I'm just saying nonsense today. Anyway, but it's something that I always wonder about, and I don't know if there's an actual answer to it to balance the two. I don't know. Maybe your conscience will just help you decide on, oh, are you actually doing too much or too bad or too little? Or imagine somebody that has children. Now, are you saying you would put your needs before your children's needs? Like, let me even say little children. Like, so, like, there's so many instances and scenarios, like mothers, fathers. You know, sometimes you don't get sleep, or you don't get to buy stuff for yourself, for your children, because they need to get clothes. So now, would you now say, no, I want to practice self-love. Let me, you know, put my needs first, right? And so I know that might sound silly, and you'd be like, no, that's not what self-love means. But if we're taking it word for word, I mean, putting your needs before others, they did not specify family or friends, you know? I mean, but is it just me being devil's advocate? But that's not even the bone of contention per se on this putting your needs first. Now, and I would be more curious about discussing self-love as it relates to relationships. You know, I think that's where I would want to talk about it more now, even leave the ones of friendships, for instance, now, you know. So sometimes you see people say that you have to love yourself first before you can love others. That's actually not a factual thing, because if you do a bit of research about it and ask Google, you know, or whatever way you want to research it, you find out that there are actually points of views or school of thoughts that you don't actually, it's not compulsory, right, that you love yourself before you love others. We have not even really dissected what loving yourself even means, right? That's what I struggled to define a few minutes ago. Maybe I'll circle back to it, but let's assume that we even know what loving yourself means now. And I'm saying, so they are saying you need to love yourself before you can love others. Not entirely true, just because there's a school of thought that believes, again, that the self-love thing is more of a journey than a destination. So, like, there's no point that you're going to meet at and be like, I actually now love myself. Like, I've achieved, you know, it's almost like The Pursuit of Happiness. I don't know if you've watched that movie, right? The Pursuit of Happiness. Some people think happiness is something that you get to, like a destination. Why some people believe it's a journey? Because some people are like, I want to be happy. I want to be happy. Like, happiness is not something that you just attain. Or let me say, that's what I believe. Like, so maybe there are two schools of thoughts, but obviously, from how I've been talking, you can tell that I'm on the side that it's a journey, it's not a destination. You're not going to get to a point and say, oh, I'm happy, you know, I've attained happiness. So, like, your life is roller coaster, you know, ups and downs. Like, you're happy this minute, the next minute you hear some bad news or whatever, you know. Like, so it's just that, maybe you're at a decent mental state at this point, I guess. But it does not mean that something cannot just happen that same day and set you back. You could lose a loved one, for instance. You're happy, okay, then all of a sudden you lose a loved one. Are you going to be happy? So, like, it's not a state that you just get to and be like, I've attained happiness. So, in the same way, that's how I see the self-love thing. It's not a destination. So, saying that you even want to attain self-love before you can love others, even if it was a destination, I don't think it's even compulsory. That's my opinion anyway. I don't think it's compulsory. Maybe it's helpful, right? But loving other people, you can love people because you find the person interesting, their personality intrigues you, you like being around them. It's even possible that being around them makes you like yourself more. Have you not seen when you're around certain people and they, you know, some people, they don't like being alone in their thoughts. People that have any of this, I don't want to say anxiety per se, but there are so many things that could go on in your head. It could be anxiety, it could be ADHD, it could be depression, like spending time just by yourself. Sometimes some people don't find it easy, right? So sometimes being with some certain people helps them. So you might say, oh, that's not held in the long run, you need to be able to be by yourself, which I kind of agree, you need to be able to be by yourself. But what I'm just trying to say is that sometimes some people, by being with certain people, it makes their life easier. So you now tell them, no, you must go and find a way to be on your own first, without, before you can now get. So what if they never find a way? So they just, you're condemning them to just not get into relationships, or, you know, have friendships until they find it, if they find it. So me, I believe self-love is a journey, not a destination, right? And now, if you not even want to go back to the self-love thing, like, okay, fine, somebody's saying love yourself and all that, so like, how do you now love yourself? What is not loving yourself, Seth? Like, not loving yourself, you might try to say it's self-esteem issues, but I don't think I can't put my finger on this self-love thing, man. You can, I wish I had an expert to talk to about it. I really would want more insight. Wish I knew, like, a psychologist or something. I really wish. I need to make a psychologist friend, you know, to be honest. Or maybe even become a psychologist on my own. Who knows? But anyway, I've just been browsing and asking stuff and seeing Quora and, like, seeing people's opinions and those kind of things, right? And what is not loving yourself? Allowing yourself be treated poorly by others because maybe you feel like, yeah, not allowing yourself be deserving of good things. You know, maybe you're in an abusive relationship, or maybe it might not even be domestic, it'll be verbal abuse, or like, you allow people to treat you like crap for reasons best known to you. You know, that's probably a good symptom of not loving yourself, right? And you know, self-esteem issues, maybe due to one reason or the other, you feel you're not attractive enough, or maybe you feel you're overweight, or you're too skinny, or your face has acne, you know. So maybe because of that, you let people that normally, you know, that this person doesn't even make you happy, but you just feel like you can't do any better, you know, and then you just stay with them, that kind of thing. I guess maybe that would be a good reflection of not loving yourself, in a sense. Maybe there are better examples, but on the spot now, this is what I can think of, right? So then the $1 million question is, how do you now start, like, appreciating yourself, right? How do you start? Because I really don't like when people say this thing from a place of what's the word? God, why is English failing me? From a place of, when you're looking down on somebody, what's that word called? God, I feel so dumb. When you're looking down on somebody, basically, there's a word for that. I don't want to think too much, but that's the word I'm looking for. So just fix it in there at this point. When you're looking down on somebody, and so I don't like when people say things from that point. Like, so maybe somebody's is advising you, for instance, and they are like, this is going to be a long episode. Well, like I said, this is like rambling, so listen at your own peril. So when people say things from a point of they are looking down on you, in the sense that they feel like they love themselves, you know, and they're like, you don't love yourself, you should love yourself, without actually trying to advise on how you should go about it, you know, especially on Twitter, or X as it's called now. And they're like, and they always use this one that I really find it unkind, will I say, where they say, I'm loved at home. Like, come on, I'm loved at home. Like they almost use it to like brag and flex. Like, I'm loved at home. I can't allow this person to treat me this way. I'm loved at home. Okay, so let's take a deviation now. We'll come back to them advising you properly. So now let's look at that loved at home thing that people say on the X app. If you've frequented the X app, you would have seen it. But they say, I'm loved at home. I can't let him treat me like this. So let's assume that you're loved at home and you're implying that this person is not loved at home, right? So is it their fault that they are not loved at home? And did you do anything that made you get loved at home? So you were fortunate to be loved at home, or so you claim anyway, that you're loved at home. Because who even knows? Anybody claims anything online? We don't know anybody's life really. So, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt. So yes, you actually loved at home. You didn't do anything to deserve being loved at home. Now you were fortunate. Yes, you can say that every human being deserves to be loved at home, but life is unfair. The world is messed up. Not everybody is fortunate to have parents that care about them, right? So you are fortunate to be loved at home, and then you're using that to brag to another person that you are saying is not loved at home, which is not their own fault. It's not so, like, what exactly are you now saying? You're loved at home and they're not. Okay, so okay now that they're not loved at home, what are they supposed to do? Because now they're already grown up now. You are loved at home growing up. They're gonna, okay, so now that means their life is ruined, right? You're not giving them a way forward. You're just going to say that, oh, sorry, too bad. Oh, you are dealt a bad hand at birth, and I was dealt a good hand, so sorry. Nothing constructive about the statement, you know. I know that I'm overanalyzing things, which is something that I've been accused of doing, and I know I do it, right? They probably just cruise and everything, but I don't know. I don't like the statement, I'm loved at home, because they always use it to explain situations where somebody is being treated poorly because they have low self-esteem, you know, and you're like, I'm loved at home, I can't take this. Like I said, maybe sometimes they don't mean it that, they don't mean it that deeply, sure. But I'm just saying, if for somebody that actually meant it deeply, it's not a flex, I would say. You're loved at home. It's not a flex at all. But anyway, back to friends, advising friends from a place of being favored or being better off, and saying you need to love yourself, man. You need to love yourself. You advise them on how they should love themselves. So you just say that, be like, do better, without actually giving constructive feedback. You need to love yourself. You need to love your. Did you tell them what you did to, you know, love yourself better? Yes. So the advice is not complete until you say that. Don't just say you need to love yourself without giving constructive feedback on steps to go about it. You need to love yourself is just what? It's not advice, really. Don't I know that I need to love myself? Do you think they don't know? You need to love yourself. That's not advice. You need to love yourself. Anytime you tell somebody you need to love yourself, please add how and steps or tips. I don't know. Share a video that you watched where the person gave. If you don't have the tips yourself, maybe you have a link or a resource you can share. Maybe give them that, you know, if you really care about them, because you just saying you need to love yourself sounds... Oh, I figured out the word, Jesus. Condescending. God. God. Yes. English fails me sometimes, right? I just need it had a D in it. I was thinking of descend something, but I was forgetting the con. So condescending is the word, right? Yes, you might feel like this guy is so dumb. I can't even figure out condescending, but I don't know. You know, sometimes you're just talking too much, and because you don't want to forget what you're going to say next, you don't want to think about a particular word. So that's what's happening there. I promise. I'm not usually dumb, or words don't usually fail me. Anyway, so let's see now. Some tips on taking care of your mental health, right? Or helping you love yourself better. So, first of all, you can try exercising, right? Exercising is very underrated, trust me. And it's not just to get a ripped body. It's not just to get abs. It's not just to be able to take better test traps, even though those are good byproducts, right? But exercising, wow, is so good for the mind. Like, it doesn't have to be very heavy duty exercise. It could just be a soft routine. But I notice that anytime I anytime I don't feel that great, whether mentally or even physically sometimes, actually, like maybe you feel bloated or you feel a headache, sometimes just some exercises, like maybe 15 minutes workout, you could go to YouTube, just find workout or their apps. I always just get new apps every time I run out of the exercises get boring, because the thing about exercises is good to have variety, because if you keep doing the same ones, you'll not be motivated to keep doing it. So there's so many options. You get an app, you know, or you could register at the gym if you have the liberty, you know, or if you don't, you could just get an app and do it. Doesn't have, and you know, do the ones, just 15 minutes of your time. It's not a lot per se. Yes, I know it's not easy, that's why it's good to start small and you know, build on that. Good to start small. So exercising, however way you want to go about that one, exercising helps. Then you could also try getting enough sleep. Getting enough sleep also is very, that is also something that some people don't have the luxury, I guess, because of traffic, they have to wake up so early. But I don't know, maybe you could try sleeping earlier if you can. You could try by adding 30 minutes extra to your sleep. I don't know, maybe just start there, find a way to make more sleep for yourself. Sometimes it does help you feel better, because when you don't have enough sleep, you usually are more grumpy than usual. I usually am more grumpy. In fact, when my sleep is actually interrupted in the morning, it takes me a few hours for me to get into a, I don't say cheerful mood, but actually get into the normal mood. Let's say there's a scale from grumpy to cheerful. So, and maybe some days, yes, you wake up on the right side of the bed and you're actually cheerful. Maybe you had a good dream, I don't know. But getting sleep interrupted or short can make me grumpy, and then it takes time to even get to the normal parts, not even talk of getting to me being cheerful. So eating healthy, so this one I can't really speak more on this one, because this is still something also that I'm trying to find out. I know that it's also something that gets asked or thrown around a lot. Maybe I'll talk about it on another episode. But like, people say, are you eating healthy? Are you like eating healthy? I mean, I've tried to browse, what do you people mean eating healthy? Like, what do you mean eating healthy? Don't you say I'm eating healthier? What do you people mean you're eating healthier? Like, what exactly are you doing differently that now classifies as healthier? This should be a topic on its own. But from what I could find, they said cutting out processed food, and processed food really is anything that is packaged. For example, biscuits and snacks, and it sounds terrible, right? Because I eat those things, and you probably eat those things too, and you're like, Jesus, I have to cut those things out. Why is life wicked like this? Why can't someone just enjoy life? So maybe it's not cutting them out entirely, but maybe reducing the frequency of buying such things, because from what I read, the more ingredients it has on the packet, the worse it is for you. So it's better to eat food that's actually cooked, you know, properly cooked. I should emphasize, because now trying to now even cook food has its own issues, because if it's not properly cooked, there could be bacteria in it. So life is just like there are like 15 potholes, and then maybe there are 2 straight paths. You just have to be careful to dodge those potholes. So eating healthy, do more research on the best way to maintain a healthy diet. But eating healthier would get your health better generally, and when your health is better, your mind will be better, because of course mental health is health, you know. Health is the big asset. Then of course, now the mental health improper, right? You can try practicing meditation, right? Sounds lame, but meditation is cool. Not like I've practiced it extensively, but I noticed that there was one day I was really feeling this, I don't want to say mood swing, but sometimes you can't really put your hand on why you're so damp in your mind. Like I'm feeling irritable. But all I did was do this breathing exercise that I found online, and I actually felt peaceful after it. So meditation, think about it, browse about it. Might be for you, might not be for you. Then practicing mindfulness. Mindfulness is always saying positive stuff, and it's more like an affirmation. It doesn't even have to be something you say out loud. It could be saying in your mind when situations are going weirdly, or maybe when you wake up, you can just tell yourself, oh, I'm deserving of a good relationship, or I deserve to be treated respectfully. You could just be telling yourself that so that you don't forget, so that if you're ever in a situation where somebody is treating you disrespectfully, you already know that no, I shouldn't be accepting this sort of behavior. You know, some people forget, you know, sometimes that they should be treated respectfully. I don't like to use the word deserve a lot, you know, because I don't know, what does one person deserve? Deserve for me is the word I feel that I should add, you know, when somebody has done something, then you deserve this. When you do this, you deserve a reward. I don't know. Maybe it's me being lame, sha. But a lot of people try to say, I deserve this. I don't know. Deserves to me just sounds... Doesn't sound... It sounds proud when I use the word deserve, you know. I don't like using the word deserve, but I would say that every human deserves to be treated respectfully. I think that one, I think it's safe to say, right? But, you know, so stuff like that, you can just be mindful. Be mindful of kind of things you think about sometimes also. You know, when you catch yourself trying to think about belittling yourself a lot, maybe you can try telling yourself that no, I shouldn't, I'm this and I'm that. It's different for everyone, what depending on the thing that makes you belittle yourself. So you tackle it personally. It's different for everyone. It could be something, it could be an illness, it could be a condition, it could be your finances. I don't know what it could be that is making you feel like you're inferior to others. And then setting boundaries with others and saying no when you need to. So I don't know, maybe you family members, partners, friends, I don't know, setting boundaries, really just you know what they do that you don't like, and is not, as far as it's not something that any human should be, I don't let me not say any human should be tolerating, but every situation is different, right? I don't know, maybe somebody is always shouting at you. I think you have a right to say, if it makes you feel bad, and if the person, let's say the person doesn't really care about you, but if you feel like the person doesn't care about you, and then you can't tolerate that behavior, and the person doesn't need to be in your life, like for instance maybe it's your parent or your sibling, then no, I'm saying your parent or sibling, probably people that you feel maybe they need to be in your life. So I'm saying if the person is not somebody that you feel needs to be in your life, then maybe you can just find a way to disassociate with them. But if it's somebody that you feel, oh no, the person should be in your life, then you have to find a way to let them know, because you know the more they keep doing that thing, the less you want to be in their company. And if there's something that you feel should be in your life, it will keep happening, so you have to deal with it instead of, you know, avoiding. So set boundaries and maybe say, oh please, yes, don't shout when you're doing this. Maybe you can just talk calmly to me, because when you shout it makes me feel very sad, you know. So you being upset is worth speaking up for, you know. Something that they should listen to. Forgiving yourself for your mistakes and learning from them, right? So maybe you feel that's maybe if your issue with yourself is that you did something and you've not forgiven yourself. I don't know what that thing is, but because of the thing that you did, you feel like you had this and you're undeserving of this. Maybe something really bad. I don't want to give any examples on this one, just use your imagination. You did something really bad, so you just have to find a way to forgive yourself. I'm not saying you should excuse your behavior though, because that could be a slippery slope, because if you start excusing your behavior for everything, like I don't know, maybe let's use a trivial example, you break a plate and you're like, my hands are soft, and then because of that now you keep breaking plates because you're my hands are soft. So you don't try to, you know, learn from the mistake of dropping the plate. So you, in as much as you forgive yourself for the action, you actually have to try to avoid repeating it, because the first time it's a mistake and the second time it's a choice, really. So you forgiving yourself should not allow you now to keep doing the same thing. Celebrating your successes and accomplishments. Right? If that's left to you with what you tag an accomplishment. To be honest, anything you feel is an accomplishment is an accomplishment. And anything you don't feel is that much of an accomplishment is also fine. I don't know. It's really up to you, because somebody cannot tell you what is an accomplishment. You have to feel it is an accomplishment. So maybe some people say if they feel like they passed an online course, and I think it's just an online course. So even if somebody celebrates it, you might not really feel it if you don't feel like it's an accomplishment. So it's up for you to just try taking note of things that maybe you are ignoring. Like, so maybe like I did this, you know. Celebrate little stuff like that, so that you can, by celebrating it, it helps you feel like, oh wow, when humans feel like they achieve something, I can't explain it, but it gives you this sense of
I don't want to say purpose, but that's why people keep setting goals, you know, so that they can cross them out, because that's what keeps you going, really. Like, if you had nothing to strive to accomplish, there would really be no need to get up in the morning, let's be honest. Because, like, if there was nothing driving you, because now, yes, you're like, you need to make money, maybe that's why you're going to work, right? So now imagine if money was not an issue. Okay, so that means you wouldn't go to work, right? And you probably would just be in bed all day. Like, you need to find a reason to do things. So, like, if you don't have accomplishments that you're ticking off lists, kind of, you might feel like, ah, life is just flowing and passing me by, you know. So, but the accomplishments, you'd seen them, and, you know, celebrating doesn't have to be like something magnificent, but you just saying, wow, that's nice, you could just post it. You don't even have to post it, sorry, it's not compulsory, but you could just tell yourself, speak to yourself in your mind about it, like, I did this, or tell a friend, or tell somebody, or just, it's a mind thing, really, at least, to just say, oh yes, I did this. You don't have to mark it with any actual celebration, and then if you do mark it, that's also fine. It's you know, celebrate your accomplishment. It helps you to feel proud of yourself, really. It helps you to feel proud of yourself, which is what you're striving for, because when you're proud of yourself, now you definitely love yourself, you know, or you definitely like yourself a lot more. Then what else? Yeah, that's basically some of the tips out there. You have internet, you can find some more tips online if it's something that you're really keen on, right? Find more tips and, you know, get better at, you know, at appreciating yourself, I guess, you know, even though it's not easy. Because me, I've had self-esteem issues too, right? I don't say self-esteem issues, but you cannot love every single thing about yourself. Like, everybody has flaws. Like, so there'll be things that you'd be like, ah, I wish this, that you have this thing. I wish I didn't do this thing. Like, there's no single person, even all the people that you think are perfect, there's no single, that's what, see, even celebrities get surgeries on their body. Now, that's just being superficial. I'm talking about aesthetics. It might not be something physical, it could be something else that is not tangible. But just look at now, if you think Nicki Minaj is so perfect, why did she have surgery on her body? So there's always something on like everybody, no matter how perfect thing the person is, that they will be like, ah, I wish I didn't have this thing, or I wish this, I wish I didn't. Like, there'll always be something. And the weird thing, I don't know that is a curse, but it's just like that saying that humans always want what they can have, and when they have it, they want something else. So, like, it's just how human beings are wired, I think. You always want to get the next thing, and then, okay, fine, let's say you now actually find a way, maybe there's a procedure to correct a certain thing, if it's a tangible thing. If it's not a tangible thing, maybe find a way. You will now, your mind will now be searching for the next thing about yourself that you don't like, and you try to also correct it. That's how you keep searching and searching and searching. It's just how it goes. There's nothing you can do. You cannot just say, Omo, my just day. So it's just how it is. Everybody has things, really. But like I said, it's not that you would now postpone. If your relationship is something you want, I don't think you should postpone that because you're trying to attain one kind of self-love state, you know, really. Then you'll just be single forever, really. But at the same time, I'm not saying you shouldn't take a break from relationships to, like, focus on yourself, you know. You can also do that. That's still cool. But I'm not saying that somebody that you really like and you're like, oh no, they said I need to love myself first, so sorry. Because who knows, maybe you don't run into another person that you really like that again. Who knows? I don't know. Who knows the future? All the songs. I don't know. Don't take love advice from me, please. I'm no expert, clearly. So this is still just a rambling. I don't know how long this has gone on for. Let me check. Half an hour. I really like to talk, and more talk. Okay, before I go, I think this is the longest session I've ever had just talking by myself. Anyway, I don't have any. Oh my god. Anyway, so I wanted to say one more thing. Yes, those people that I would marry, a kind partner, prophets, or what will I say, call them now, that I see on X just sounds weird, sounds like a porn site, on Twitter.
marry a kind partner, Omo. Marry a kind partner, marry a kind partner. This, when they will see, when they will see something online, they'll be like, marry a kind partner, marry a kind partner. Like, does anybody actually, you know, get into relationships with an unkind person? You know, do they like, you know, knowingly? Okay, maybe, oh, maybe some people, because of their chasing a specific thing in that relationship, they don't really focus on the person's personality. You know, so they, I guess they overlook that. But let's just speak of the people that actually are focused on the partner now and not going in for some other motive, right? And so I don't think they would go into a relationship with somebody that is unkind. Like, I think they would really like somebody that they believe loves them and is, you know, and you know, is kind to them. Though kindness, I guess, is not it's not the same thing as loving your partner, because I think kindness is more on how you treat others. Because, you know, sometimes when people are in love, yes, it might make them not be their normal self to you, but they'll be their normal self to others. That's why people are always saying a man that is always sweet to me but not other girls or whatever. Well, I hope in that one they mean in terms of love, not like in politeness or like compassion. But so usually, yeah, the people would be their normal selves with others. That's why it's always good to observe how your partner treats other people, not just friends, people that they don't know, people that they're just meeting. Because friends, they might also treat them with a bias because they've known them for a long time. So maybe if you're on the search of a kind partner, number one tip for you would be, when just observe them, how they treat the attendants, you know, maybe the people that, the waiters, the sales people, you know, the delivery people, if you're in their presence, you know, when they talk to them, just observe their behavior. And I would also say that even if you do find people evolve, right? Evolve. I don't want to say change, I would say evolve. Because change would imply that the person is becoming a totally different person. So I don't believe people become totally different people. I believe they evolve. So evolve is obviously becoming better. So they are still themselves, but they added some things to make themselves better. So let's say you do meet somebody that is unkind in the first instance, or they're rough around some edges, right, in some regard, and they actually are impolite to service people that render services or something. And you love them, right? I feel like you would try to help them get better. Why not help them get better? I don't think the first point of action should be to just say, oh, I'm sorry, block them and run away. Like, if everybody was doing that, then anybody that was not fortunate enough to have some values instilled in them at a younger age would never get better, since if everybody just keeps running away from them and nobody tries, I feel like at least just try to improve them. You owe it to the society itself, not just, yes, now, because improving them would make the society a better place, because they would interact with people in the society. So you should try to improve them, and, you know, so at least try. Then if they seem to not be, you know, taking heat to change, then fine, you know, you tried your best, you leave. So this is even before marriage, obviously. I mean, so obviously now, that's why you should court somebody for a period to experience them around others and all that. So this is not even, if you already married a person, me, I don't know about that one, but at least while you're dating or courting, these are some of the things that you could try. You should try to improve the person, because it will not just be good for you, it will also be good for the society. And then also, that's one scenario of meeting somebody that is unkind, right, and then making them better. But those are even saying marry a kind partner. So even if you marry somebody that was actually great and kind and the most loving, right, you people, in as much as they evolve, which is positive, maybe they regress. I don't know if regress is the best term, but maybe they regress value wise or emotionally due to some life, you know, sometimes some things in life happen that change people. No, I don't use change, right? Some things happen in life that make people become get worse as a person. I don't know what it could be. It could be something, I don't know, death is always the first thing that comes to mind, but I don't know, why would death change you per se? I don't know, but say maybe it depends on how the person died, and I don't, like, maybe some things happen. I don't know, death maybe might not be a good example, but just there's so many scenarios. I don't want to start thinking of bad scenarios that could make somebody, you know, become a bit worse than they were like a year ago, but it does happen. So if you're unfortunate and that happens now, and they'll only come after you marry a kind partner. But when I married the person was kind. Now it's just unfortunate that, you know, they became how they are now. That's why marriage is just so tricky. And I feel like people just come and summarize your problem in one statement. Like, it's that easy. I don't think it's that easy. I mean, I'm not married. What would I know? But I don't think it's that easy. But then again, you bringing your problem to social media, I feel like anything you see, you take it now, because you're the one that brought it. So people can have different opinions on it. So if you don't want them to have different opinions on it, then probably don't bring it to social media, right? Because when there are a large group of people, some opinions will be weird and crazy, and some will be sensible. So if you don't want to see different freaking takes, then maybe don't bring it to social media. But on the topic of kind partner, so maybe just them, like I said, observe how they treat other people. That's what I would say. Let's see, maybe they pretend, if you're unfortunate and they're good at pretending. How long would they pretend for? I don't know really. Just, I don't know, pray to God. I don't know. So this thing is very it's something that I don't know if I would say anybody can brag about, because really there's just if you believe in God, then you can just say God helps you choose your partner, or God chooses your partner for you. But if you don't believe in God, then maybe just hope that the universe helps you. It's not something that you brag about, that, oh, I chose this person. I, like, you know, it's something that you're like, oh my God, I'm so grateful, you know, that I was able to land such a great partner. Because it's really out of your hands sometimes. Like, in as much as you want to say, maybe as the guy who I selected her, she could be pretending and acting a certain way, and then you marry her and acting in that way. Like, it's a lottery, man. It's a lottery, kind of. So just be grateful, right? I would say, if you actually end up with a kind person, and don't come on social media and be like, marry a kind partner. That's even the funny thing, because at the point in time, maybe your partner is even kind. Who knows what the next 5 years would hold? Life is tricky like that. At this point might look great, and then 5 years from now, who knows what it would be like. It's like, until you die, really, you cannot really say anything, because you don't know what is in your future. But then when you are dead, you cannot actually now say anything because you are dead. So maybe I prefer not to speak, should be the word. That's just a Marino would say. If I speak, I'm in trouble. Well, thank you for listening to this episode, and yes, I feel like I've poured out my thoughts. Thank you for indulging me. Thank you.